Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, crap. They knew it.
Oh, yes, they did, my man.
Was
yes,
there some
they
conspiracy?
Did.
They find a playbook that was left in the trash can at the team hotel or something?
Think
Is
so.
That what happened? The Texans grabbed it. They knew everything that was coming. No, the Chiefs are very, very predictable. That's what Charles Omenihu, well, the Texans defensive end, says.
This is not just a normal viewer, okay?
This is the guy that was playing in the game yesterday.
He was involved, yes.
And knew all the plays were coming.
Oh, yeah, now people thought I was, like, resting all over the place, but I was just head up on the center. And so when they were kind of, I knew their, like, line movements. I knew the slide and things like that. I knew what it was going to be. So when they said a certain word, I knew I was going to be rushing one-on-one on the center. So I knew I had a chance to convert, but I was playing run the whole time. So I extended out, and then when I felt like he was soft, I just flipped my hips, pulled him and flipped my hips in. He started running, and then saw the quarterback. He was on the center, so I knew it was a short distance to get to him.
Yeah.
Just had to make that play.
Yeah, just had to make
some
plays.
There it is. There it is. I mean, I knew it was coming all along. I mean, I knew where the center was standing. I knew the feet were set up. I knew the words they were saying at the line of scrimmage. I knew exactly.
I've got to do a better job getting our team ready to go.
I just got to wait. I mean, we started the show, and I said to you, Josh, I said it to you last night as I was watching this game. We're leading with that. It's the exact same game that they ran against the Indianapolis Colts.
That's my responsibility.
It's the exact same game. And we saw the exact same game 2 weeks in a row. And then I come in this morning, and I think, you know, all right, yeah, maybe I'm wrong. And then I hear a player on the defense of the Texans go, this is obvious. Feet placement, words, cadence, all. How about changing something up?
It starts right here with me.
What are you doing if you're at the facility for 18 hours a day as a coach and the game plan's exactly the same? Like, what goes on there? Coffee?
They got
a Dunkin' run later
there
in the day?
There was fool's gold with the first quarter, too, right? Even if you came out the exact same, we're going to do this, we're just going to do it better.
Yeah.
Everything was great last week, so we just got to do a better job.
Right.
So you came back out with it, and you did a better job for the first quarter. Then you fell into a false sense of security in that
right.
one, right?
And the only reason they had that big touchdown pass is because there was an offsides penalty. Mahomes wasn't going to take that shot at that point in time.
Right, there was a penalty.
If there was
so
a penalty.
Chucked it for the end zone.
So you chucked it
for
the end zone.
Yeah.
So you kind of got lucky on that one.
Right.
You had a free play. You threw it up there. Nice play by the wide receiver. You came down with a touchdown. Boom. Okay, you're up 7-0.
It was an incredible play. Incredible catch.
Yeah, everything was great about it, right?
Are you normally going to throw that in double coverage?
And Mahomes even said that after the game. I knew I had a free play, so I was going to go for it.
Right.
So if J.J. Watt or whoever it was wasn't offsides on that play, on what was that, 3rd and 21 or whatever that was, right? If you're not offsides on that play, Mahomes is probably not throwing it up, putting it up in the air like that. Maybe you have a different play at that point in time. So they got lucky on that play. They got lucky on that one. It was a great throw, great catch, way to get in the end zone, but they're not taking that chance unless there's a penalty on that play by the defense. So, yeah, you're right. A little bit of fool's gold, Josh. A little bit of fool's gold.
So if you thought you were, because you hear it all the time. I mean, you heard it in the post-game game yesterday.
I've got to do a better job getting our team ready to go.
I got to do a better job. I've got to play better.
So
you heard it from all these players. I got to play better. I got to play better. I got to do a better job. I got to play better. So if they came out, Bob, and just did the same exact game plan and just said, we just got to play better.
Right.
Then he probably thought it was just going to be all better, magically be all better, not radically change everything. We just got to be better.
Yeah, but that's point in midweek last
that's
week.
That's where they thought they were.
But they clearly weren't there though.
They thought they were. We just didn't execute what we set out to do previously. Mm-hmm. Let's do it again. We'll just do it better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then got fooled into the first quarter thinking it was all better.
Mm-hmm.
And then you saw as the game went on, it wasn't all better. And it didn't get any better, and it looked very reminiscent of the game before. Yeah.
It starts right here with me.
I liked the first part of the game. I liked the 17 points. I liked the aggressiveness. I liked the using the screen game. You got a big play out of Frank Clark. You got You got a turnover from your defense. They're feeling good about themselves. Everything is going in your right direction. You're like, see, we're just playing better. We're just playing better.
I think it's 17-3. Andy had a snackle.
And then, not that I blame him.
Snackles are very good. They got that pumpkin stuffed pretzel now. Oh,
yeah, come on, snackle now. All you want. I don't have a problem with that. But then you got into the fool's goal. It wasn't just about playing better. It was about executing better. It was about planning better. You have a guy that says he knew exactly what was coming because he didn't change anything up.
Yeah.
And they got confidence and they got rolling, and then look what happened.
Yeah, that's a player, not a viewer. But they didn't play better, though, Josh. When you say fool's gold, it was fool's gold. They got a touchdown on a play that they wouldn't have run had there not been a penalty. But the Chiefs had five penalties in less than 5 minutes of action in the first game. At the 10:04 mark, they picked up like their fifth penalty of the game. They hadn't even played 5 minutes of the first quarter, and the team already had five penalties. They had special teams penalties. They had offensive penalties. They had Patrick Mahomes hit numerous times, and they had three penalties on their first possession of that game. That's how Patrick Mahomes had 116 yards passing on the first drive. It's a record. It's the first time since 2002 that somebody has done something like that. I mean, 116 yards passing on the first drive. That's because there were three offensive penalties that pushed them back to give him the opportunity to have, like, that's not a stat we should be bragging about today. I just see that first drive of the game, 116 yards passing.
He moved the ball down the field twice. To get one score.
And how many penalties did we have on that drive? Three big penalties. And then when you get a big fumble like Frank Clark had, penalty, holding, penalty. I mean, you get a field goal out of that. You should have gotten a touchdown out of that. And gone up 14-0 at that point in time. Instead, you kicked the field goal. You left the door open. That's another thing that the Chiefs have done. I guess they've done a great job of leaving the door open this year, but a terrible job at scoring touchdowns this year. You've got to find a way to stick that dagger right in your opponent's heart. 14-0 is a dagger. 10-0, you're like, it's still manageable. We're just going to run the football, not give it back to them. And that's what they did. And they didn't stop the run again on defense.
As Carlos Hyde has a day. Second week in a row, someone comes back to Arrowhead, little chip on their shoulder. This time it's a running back. Justin Houston. The Colts.
Yep.
Now it's Carlos Hyde. Comes back.
The Chiefs must be bad breaker-uppers. I mean, they left a message for Jeremy Maclin. Nobody knows where Eric Berry is these days. And 2 weeks in a row, you have guys coming back to Arrowhead that are legitimately pissed off. Carlos Hyde was here for the offseason. Like, he was not here. Yeah,
but you brought him here, and you thought he stunk, so you traded him.
So you traded him.
And so he remembers that. Payback for sure.
Yeah, you know, I definitely had a lot of chip on my shoulder. You know, how things turned out here, you know, I definitely had a lot of motivation. You know, I'm thankful where I'm at and how things are going where I'm at. Come in and get a big win like that, you know. We definitely should put the league on notice after that one.
Should put the league on notice after that one.
Yeah.
Also, it's a badge of honor to come in and knock off the Chiefs.
That's right.
To shut them up. What was it, Kyle Brand of NFL Network? They bleed.
Yeah.
Last week he said they bleed. Yeah, teams are feeling it. There's blood in the water.
Oh, God, yeah.
So Carlos Hyde comes in, gets his, you know, $120. The other day at the office.
How much is Philip Lindsay going to get on Thursday
Chiefs
night?
Chiefs run defense. Oh, Philip Lindsay ought to be just drooling.
Oh, my God, he's ready to go today.
To see this thing. But Carlos Hyde comes in after you traded him away. He feels a little scorned, right?
Yeah.
He's in a better situation for himself probably right now, but 116 yards and a touchdown. He overcomes the early turnover, which could have sent him in the tank.
Sure, absolutely.
Did not.
Then they went back to him, unlike LeSean McCoy a week ago when he fumbled. He was nowhere to be found for the rest of the game.
And then he comes in and says that should be a statement to the rest of the league. Why? Because everybody's looking to make a statement against the Chiefs.
Right. The Chiefs are a very beatable team right now.
Because that was looked at as a team to beat.
Not anymore.
In the AFC. And two teams that come in the AFC and have beaten them and have taken that as a big circled game on their on their calendar.
It's a circle game.
And you let them do it.
It's a circle game. It's a circle game. You come in here, you circle that game, you want to beat the Chiefs. And 2 weeks in a row, they've had somebody that the Chiefs got rid of really have venom in their body about this organization. So I think they're bad breaker uppers.
You had called them last week, Potatoes O'Brien.
Yeah.
He did something, though, that was a key for them that, of course, we can't figure out. We'll discuss next.
All right, got to do a better job. I take full responsibility. Time's yours.
I remember when you screwed up the first time. 14 years later is enough. Because, like, you hadn't had back in a month. You say you'll do a better job.
Better job.
What? Then you come out again and say, listen, I'm taking full responsibility. I've had it. Every week is Groundhog Day. I say I hate you, and you say you'll fix it. Time's yours.
Time's yours.
What do they call the definition of insanity?
Like ever. I'm really gonna miss our Monday talk and your funny way of managing the clock. Your stupid play calling in the red zone and all the fourth quarter leads that you've blown. So he comes out again and says, oh, I gotta do a better job. And I'm like, I mean, this is exhausting, you know? We are never going to win anything with Andy. Like ever.
We are never, ever, ever. Gonna win with Andy. We are never, ever, ever. Gonna win with Andy. You go fire your friends. Oh, it's your friends. It's never you.
I gotta look in the mirror.
We are never, ever, ever. Gonna win with Andy.
I can do a better job.
I can do a better job.
Every time she sings that, I just cringe.
It just makes your skin crawl.
This was Andy yesterday.
I've got to do a better job getting our team ready to go.
Yeah, it's the same stuff. That song was from the Philadelphia Vintage.
Yep.
And the lyrics hold up.
It's about a decade old, that song.
Every time there's one of these debacles, it's that. It's right. The lyrics are so true, and the music just stands the test of time.
It's a great song. It really is. It's a great song because it nailed it. At least yesterday nailed it. And that's what I told you.
Most days it nails it. Most losses it nails it.
Most losses it does. It really does. It's the same stuff over and over. You fire your friend, Bob Sutton, bring in another friend, Steve Spagnuolo, no change, same thing.
It starts right here with me.
Is that yesterday or
that's
that just
yesterday.
A generic
yeah, that's
one?
Not, okay. That's yesterday.
That's just a generic
again, that's my responsibility.
Yesterday. Yeah. This was yesterday.
I do a better job.
I've got to do a better job getting our team ready to go.
It just continues. Philly was so bright.
But here's my suggestion to Andy then. Do a better job. Stop telling us you've got to do a better job. I am so sick and tired of hearing that. Just go out there and do a better job.
They're going to do a better job. Yep, got to do a better job. Okay.
Do it. Do a better job. Figure things out. Do things differently. Because what we saw yesterday was the exact same thing we saw on Sunday night against the Colts. No running game. Can't stop the run. 2-1 time of possession for the opponent. 7 runs in the second half against the Colts. 4 runs in the second half against the Houston Texans. Kelsey had a minimal impact on the game. Tackling was atrocious. Gave up big first down plays that led to second and third in manageable situations. Opponents have no fear of going for it on fourth down against this team right now. And you had a 3-1 pass to run ratio. When you have all of those things, you're not going to win football games. And for me, I'm watching this game late last night when I got back from the marathon in Chicago. I'm watching this stuff and I'm like, I just watched this last Sunday night. This is the same game. Like, there was nothing different about that. And so when Andy says, well, I got to do a better job, it starts with me. What went on last week over there? I mean, maybe there are some circumstances we don't know about. Some things hit the fan. There were illness or something. Maybe, I don't know, guy was sick, hurt his leg, whatever the case may be. Like, what went
locust.
On last week? Locust, it could be a lot of locust. But what went on last week that you just went, nah, this game plan worked. All right, let's just roll the same thing out. Because teams got you figured out now. I've got to do a better job
getting our team ready to go.
They're not giving you the football. They're not allowing you to play the game that you want to play, so now you've got to change some things up. And they're not.
Okay, so 20 points in the second quarter for Houston, right? They come out of the halftime locker room. Right. CBS goes down to friend of the show, Evan Washburn, sideline reporter for CBS.
This was good yesterday.
Right?
Yeah. I've got, like, notes on Evan Washburn yesterday.
Okay. His halftime discussion with Potatoes O'Brien,
right,
as you called him,
right,
dubbed him, Potatoes O'Brien.
That's right.
Was... Oh, my gosh, the running game got him back into it.
Yep.
They stuck with it. They're glad they stuck with the running game. It got them back into it. They felt like that was the key to turning things around in the second quarter.
And then he says, but O'Brien also expects the Chiefs to make adjustments.
And then he said, but also expect to see a heavy dose of Carlos Hyde in the second half.
Right.
And what happens? All of that.
The Chiefs didn't make any adjustments,
so
though.
They made no adjustments. Okay. They stuck with running the football and continued to run the football.
Right.
Meanwhile, the Chiefs, again, do not run the football.
Right.
Would you say seven carries in the second half?
No, four, Josh. Four seven carries. Was last week.
Okay, four in the second half.
You don't need seven.
It's all numbers. And then we get football excuses from Andy.
Some of what you deal with if you're in an RPO game, if you're doing that, you're going to have some that end up being throws. But that's how we roll. And we'll go back and look at it and see what we need to do better there. I mean, that's, you know.
That starts with me. So now the excuse for not running the football was, well, we're running the RPO game.
Yeah, and the RPOs.
They went to the pass option.
Run pass option, just for those who don't know the terminology.
So they went to the pass option, though. So, you know, those could have gone either way.
Right. We just
didn't run the football.
Right.
Again.
2 weeks in a row.
So don't blame RPOs this time. You have no concerted effort to ever run the football.
There's no effort to run the football at all. And running still wins in the NFL. And you know what also Evan Washburn said at halftime when he came back? He said the mood with Kansas City on the sidelines, they were stunned the way that the halftime ended. I mean, he's stunned. He used the term stunned how the half ended for them. And that's something you don't want a team stunned. You don't want a team shook, like Patrick Mahomes said in the first half of a game against another NFL team. Like, I don't think this team does well handling adversity, Josh. I think they're very bad at handling adversity. I think Travis Kelce is terrible when adversity strikes, and I think this team as a whole is terrible when adversity strikes. They don't know how to recover. They were so used to last year dictating everything and dictating the pace and dictating this and dictating that and having their way with opponents. Now they're getting punched in the nose, and they don't know how to respond. That's up to the head coach. That's not up to the players. This is up to the head coach to teach them how to respond to getting knocked down. You got to get back up again. You can't say you were shook after you threw an interception, and you can't have Evan Washburn come on and say that the sidelines was stunned with the way the half ended. So that the half ended, you're down 23-17. Whoop-de-doo. Go out and score again with this high-powered offense.
It was all close game the whole time.
Yeah.
You weren't ever out of it. I want to get back to the run game, though, because we've asked for more, and I've even given you some slack. Like the screen game, you're really good at. They went away from the screen game.
And they were
game.
Really good in the first half they of
went,
the screen.
They went to the screen Done. Game. I'm like, I can give you that. And that wasn't even happening anymore. Like that stopped too. You don't run the football. It is completely, I mean, it's I'm just a viewer.
Right.
It's easy to see. Mm-hmm. Run the bleeping football. Mahomes on the
four times in the second half
run pass balance. He says, oh yeah, that would help.
I think that just comes with the flow of the game. Our defense get a little bit more rest and not have those three and outs. We ran the ball, we threw the ball short, we threw it long, and we moved it with the running game. And so just having more of those, not having those three and outs, not putting our defense right back on the field will definitely help out the whole team.
You think?
So is Pat saying that when they're sitting down on the bench talking? Is that a bench conversation? Because it should be. And if it is a bench conversation and Andy's not listening to his quarterback, then why are we having the bench conversations? There's the quarterback who's 24 years old telling us we got to run the ball more.
Or maybe he's should lean on the run part of the run pass option. I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe that's part of it too. Like you're taking the decision out of the running game's hands because they're giving you the option to.
Right.
There's no concerted effort to run the football. And you see teams continue to rush the football against you, kill you in time of possession. They were 2-1 yesterday in time of possession again.
That was insane. It was insane.
192 rushing yards to 53.
Yeah, it was.
You ran the ball 11 total times.
Well, I don't know what more you want. They did four times in the second half.
Damian Williams had one carry. LeSean McCoy had eight carries. That's not going to win you football games. It's just not.
They had four runs in the second half, and they had one of those runs on a 2nd and 14.
Correct. Much like the game before where they had that deep in the territory. In the Colts game, same type of thing.
It's the same game.
Oh, you ran it there, huh? Huh, interesting.
So we're not going to run the ball at all. But when we get second and 14, we're going to sweep right.
Correct.
And have no gain.
Well, sometimes you do catch them off guard.
Right. Houston ran 83 plays yesterday. The Chiefs ran 47. And the Chiefs had a time of possession of 20 minutes and 12 seconds. Lowest time of possession ever for the Chiefs at a game at Arrowhead.
And less than they had in the second half last week when we talked about how low their time of possession was last week. It's about 7.5 minutes. They were under 7. 6:54 they had the football in the second half.
When Tyreek Hill scored that touchdown with 6.5 minutes to go in the third quarter, the Chiefs had 6 more plays for the rest of the game.
Correct.
That was with 6.5 minutes to go in the third quarter.
Now, again, you could put some of this on the defense, too. Yes, absolutely. They can't get off the field.
But they went three and out.
Long drives. But they got the long drive. The go-ahead score happened with, 8.5 minutes to go?
Yeah.
You had tons of time. Mm-hmm. And what'd you do?
Three and out.
You responded with a 3 and out.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Run the football. You saw them run the football. And they took up 13 and a half minutes with their final two drives of the game, mm-hmm. did the Texans. You couldn't get off the field, and offensively...
Couldn't stay on the field.
You can't stay on the field.
But they ran it 4 times in the second half. One of those on a second and 14.
And now Andy's going, oh, it's RPOs.
Some of what you deal with if you're in an RPO game.
Oh, yeah.
If you're doing that, you're going to have some that end up being throws.
Yep, some that end up being throws. That's just how it happens. Oh well.
Like football excuses.
Oh, well.
I mean, he hasn't bunted since May. I don't know.
Oh, well.
Bunt in this situation. They haven't run it. I guess we shouldn't expect the run. Because the other teams that are lining up aren't expecting it either.
Well, they apparently are on 2nd and 14. They're stopping all those runs.
I got the play, guys. Here it is. It's 2nd and 14. We're at our own 20. Well, our own 14, 15-yard line, whatever it is. Sweep this thing. Let's sweep right to the short side of the field.
It's very easy to defend the run against the Chiefs because you stop it once or twice and they're not doing it again.
They're not doing it again, no.
So, I mean, that's
nope,
that's
I'm out of this one.
That's the ultimate way to get yourself some run defense confidence. Know that they'll quit doing it if you stop them just a couple times.
Right.
Oh, okay. Okay, coach, I'll go out and do that. All right, go. Go do that.
And you know how much easier that makes it for a defense? When you have the Chiefs did yesterday, a 3.5-to-1 pass-to-run ratio. Do you know what that does to a defense? It allows you to gamble. It allows you to pin your ears back and play pass defense. It allows you to drop 8 because you're not going to run the football. You know what these teams are looking at right now? All right. We'll drop 8. We'll go 3 against the run. If they beat us with the run, then they beat us with the run. But the odds are every 4 plays that the Chiefs have, 3 of them are going to be a pass. We'll take our chances.
Speaking of insanity, they too have to do a better job. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
I've got to do a better job getting our team ready to go.
Those the wise words Andy Reid. Was that yesterday or was that when you pulled from Philly?
This week or last week?
Philly or KC?
Philly or KC. Didn't play any of those games. That was actually yesterday. But the old definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over and over. You're getting the same refrain as well from the defensive side of the locker room. And they got chewed up and spit out yesterday in terms of time of possession once again as the Chiefs got doubled up. Defense couldn't get off the field. Drives of 75 yards. Took over 4 minutes. 80 yards. 5:36. The 93-yard, 8 minutes and 32-second drive.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the Chiefs offense again flamed out in the fourth quarter after the go-ahead touchdown, 3 and out. They couldn't get off the field with 5 minutes and 3 seconds to go. Couldn't get themselves off the field against the Texans.
There's still 5 minutes to go in the game, and the Texans never gave up the ball. Like, that's hard to do.
Yeah, yeah.
And they even go for it on a 4th and 3, and they're throwing the football.
Bold, just go and do it.
What do they care?
Frank Clark, you have to stop the run. Stop me if you've heard this.
You got to stop the run to win.
What?
As long as we keep letting teams, I've been saying that for, 6 weeks. As long as we keep letting teams get over 100, 150 yards running, you know, it's going to be a long day for the defense. And we're not holding up our end of the bargain for our team, this, you know, as far as this year going. We got to stop the run.
So, short week. You move on to Denver this week. How do you approach the week?
Gotta attack it. You know, gotta attack it. Short memory, 24 hours. Monday come in. You know, we gotta get ready, get prepared for a new team. So, at the end of the day, you know, you reap what you sow. You know, we put ourselves in this position. Gotta get ourselves out. You know, 3-2, 3-3. I mean, sorry, 4-2 going into, you know, another week. But just gotta keep on going, man. Gotta keep fighting. Long season.
He didn't know the record. Which is, I don't know. It's good or bad. I don't know. Play one game at a time. Whatever. You get caught up.
I don't care about
it,
that.
It feels like that it's gotten to that point. I don't know. 2-3, yeah. 3-3. I don't know.
Feels like 3-3 because they should have lost that game, you know.
Doesn't feel
Detroit.
Like 4-2. Doesn't feel like 4-2.
It's not a positive 4-2 right now.
4-2 should be looked at as pretty good normally. Right. This doesn't feel like a good 4-2. It's a bad 4-2.
What really is interesting in all of this for me is that the Texans at 4-2 are probably really excited. They feel good about their 4-2 right now. They should feel good about their 4-2. Right now, we're sitting at 4-2, still the third seed, still would have a home playoff game, wouldn't have a bye, obviously, would have a home playoff game, then probably if they were fortunate enough to win that, advance to the next round. You'd obviously have to go on the road for that. But whoever the 2 seed would be, which right now would be the Houston Texans, you'd have to go down to Houston and play them again. I don't really like the chances going down there to play Houston. But I think what we're looking at right now is a team that is 4-2, but it is a very, very negative 4-2 right now because we're seeing how it's potentially going to end earlier than expected this year. We're seeing how this thing could spiral out of control if they don't reel it back in. We're hearing Tyrann Mathieu talk about not having trust and belief in the system. We're hearing Frank Clark, as he said there, 6 consecutive weeks, got to stop the run. That includes him too. I mean, like, it's all of them. It's not just one person or 2 people or 3 people. That's the maddening thing about this team. I think you could look at all 53 guys on this team and hold them accountable for some sort of reason why this organization is sitting at 4-2 and have lost their last 2 games and really hasn't looked good in their last 3 games. Special teams has been nothing special. The offense has not been able to figure out a way to get anything done, and the defense can't get off the field. And so when you have all 3 phases of your game not producing, you are going to lose. Then couple that with stupid penalties, turnovers, dumb plays, and bad tackling. Yeah, you're going to lose football games. That's the way it is in the NFL. And Patrick Mahomes right now obviously is banged up. That guy needs his teammates to help step up around him. He did it for them last year, man. He single-handedly willed this team to wins last year. The rest of the guys on the roster have to step up around Patrick Mahomes and help him while he's battling that sore ankle right now, because he hurt that ankle again and wasn't the same after he got rolled about 11 minutes to go before halftime, got rolled on that left ankle again and really wasn't the same. And you mentioned to me before the show, he was short-arming a lot of passes and things of that nature. Like, it just didn't look good.
No, I didn't have the same zip, but there's no time. I mean, he's not injured. He's hurt. So you got to play.
Right.
And there are ways. We went over the ways. We gave solutions last week.
We did.
How to keep Pat upright and healthy.
And most of that is the run game.
And they ran it 11 times yesterday.
Right. The difference was Bill O'Brien was a better coach than Andy Reid yesterday. And I hate saying that because I'm not a big believer in Bill O'Brien.
You're not at all.
But I think he was obviously a better coach than Andy Reid yesterday. Andy Reid has now been outcoached by Bill O'Brien and Frank Reich in back-to-back weeks. And the thing that Bill O'Brien did that separates him from Andy Reid is he continued to go to Carlos Hyde even after the fumble on the first play of the game for them. Even after Carlos Hyde got that ball ripped away from him and Frank Clark recovered and the Chiefs only got a field goal out of that, they continued to go back to him. Last week when LeSean McCoy fumbled the ball, you didn't see him for the rest of the game. And I think that was a big mistake for Andy last week, and I think it was a big feather in the cap for Bill O'Brien this week because he knew we're going to win, and we're going to win on the ground, and Carlos Hyde is going to help us win this football game, and he went right back to him. They got away from LeSean McCoy last week. He didn't have a whole heck of a lot of action this week, couple plays here or there in that game. He said 8 carries or whatever it was for the day for LeSean McCoy. They have completely moved away from the running game, and that's why they're losing football games. Bill O'Brien stuck with it. Even after a major fumble in his own territory, he had confidence in his guys. He went out there and outcoached Andy Reid. Andy Reid has shown when a guy fumbles the football, instead of sticking with him, you go away from him. And that's not a good thing to do.
Stuck with it after a major mistake and a 10-0 deficit.
Yeah, and a 10-0 deficit. Still continued to run the football.
You mentioned it being kind of an all-encompassing, again, loss. Last week, I spun it as a positive. Like, everybody could go look themselves in the mirror and go, I can't point to the other side of the locker room because I didn't do mine. It was everybody had a hand in the loss. The bad part is you did the same thing again.
Right. It's the same game.
You know, it wasn't like you came back and you're like, we straightened this out, we straightened this out, but they didn't quite hold up. No. Nobody held up their end of the bargain again for a second straight week. So everybody can go and look themselves in the face again, which I can't spin it as a positive after the second time it's happened.
No, there's no
positive.
Like
you didn't. Yeah. I'll give it to you last week. You're going to go, well, hey, we didn't do this and this and this on offense. Defense might have had their, we didn't do this, this, and this. But you did it again in back-to-back weeks. It's not a positive anymore.
A loss is okay if you can learn from it, right? You can learn. Like when I talked to Mia Hamm a couple of months ago, she was here in Kansas City.
Name dropper.
Yes, exactly, right? And one of the things that she said that I thought was really interesting, she always said that she learned more from her losses than she did from wins. And I said, okay, we got a lot of kids in the audience. Explain how you can learn from your losses. And she talked about how, you know, you can really do some soul searching and look for ways to improve and ways to get better. Okay, you lose a game to the Indianapolis Colts. Not the end of the world, okay? You move on. You got the Houston Texans coming in. You figure out what you did wrong. You work on that. You improve on that. Boom, go get them next time. They didn't do any of that. It was an identical game. It was the same game plan. You did not run the football well. You did not stop the run. You went away from the run. You didn't try to run.
I've got to do a better job getting our team ready to go.
It really was like the Indianapolis Colts loss now. That was a wasted loss.
One became two.
Yeah, like overnight. Nothing. And two could become three with Phillip Lindsay and the Denver Broncos, you know, welcoming you in on a short week to Mile High Stadium. So you've got to learn from your losses. That and a man that's been in the league for 20 years and Andy Reid, how did you not learn from that loss to the Indianapolis Colts? Because you didn't learn from that loss. You did not learn from that loss because the exact same mistakes were made. Even double-digit penalties again. Three penalties on their first possession. That includes a special teams penalty.
Five in their first two scoring drives, yeah.
Five penalties with less than 5 minutes gone in the first quarter. We weren't even at the 10-minute mark. They already had five penalties in that game.
I guess it's good they only had 10 then.
Or 11. Yeah, they only had six the rest
of the
way. They
were pacing much higher than that for a while.
But you made the same mistakes. You didn't learn from that loss to the Indianapolis Colts, and that's the frustrating thing. You had an opportunity to learn, an opportunity to get better. You even got Tyreek Hill back. You still only managed 23 points. Like, I just don't understand why this team looked exactly the same from 1 week to the next, and there were no adjustments made and nothing learned from that Colts loss. That's a bad coaching job by Andy Reid.
Patrick Mahomes says there's no time to wallow, obviously, in the short week now with the Broncos.
You got to bounce back. I mean, we're going to Denver, which is not an easy place to play at, against a division opponent. And so we know that you kind of have to right the ship. You have to make sure you get this thing going the right way again. And they're going to give us a great effort. And so we have to make sure that we find a way to come out with a win at the end.
Bronco team that pitched a shutout yesterday, albeit of Tennessee, but 16-0 win, three interceptions. A defense that played pretty well a couple times last year, right?
I mean,
that game in Denver, left-hand pass, shy of that being a loss.
Yep.
Broncos probably have every reason to think that that they can face a Chiefs team and have success and make it an ugly type game. Yep. They have to win ugly. They're kind of an ugly team, but they play defense and they can run the football.
Right.
Okay, I think you got a shot. Denver, I think you have a legitimate shot at this one on Thursday night.
Yep.
And a short week thrown in as well. You have every reason to feel confident facing the Chiefs.
Chiefs are only 3.5-point favorite in this game. Chiefs are a much better football team on paper than the Denver Broncos in 3.5 points.
913-576-7610. Time's yours each and every Monday at 8 o'clock. Today, though, it's the blame game edition. Yep. Everybody seems like they want to blame somebody. They want to fire somebody. Everybody's up in arms. It's the Blame Game Edition. Time is yours. 913-576-7610. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.